Hello, FCS Nation. It's time for your show. I'm your host, Kevin Marshall. I'm coming to you this week from the best place in God's green earth, the land between the Ashley and the Cooper Rivers in the low country of South Carolina, the city of Charleston. And joining me like he does each week is the co-host of this program, the quarterback of this program, Mr. Stone Labanowitz. Stone is coming to you from his broadcast center in the Sunshine State of Florida. Mr. Labanowitz, we had some big games last week. Some of them lived up to their hype. Some of them did not. And we'll file this one under the ones that did not. Number one, North Dakota State, 38. Number two, South Dakota State, 7. This one was over with from Jump Street.
It also snapped South Dakota State's 33-game home win streak. Listen, this is 3 in a row for North Dakota State. This thing was over from Jump Street, like you said. I mean, Cole Payton does it again, just setting single-game career highs. Whether it's through the air or on the ground, it doesn't really matter. This was a 38-7 victory everybody saw coming with Luke Marble behind center.
North Dakota State had 500 yards of total offense to South Dakota State's 166 total yards. 243 through the air for North Dakota State, 257 on the ground. That balance again, 123 through the air for the Jackrabbits, and only 43 yards rushing. That's not going to get it done for a South Dakota State team. Number three, Montana, 49, Sacramento State, 35. Well, I think that the president of Sacramento State learned a very valuable lesson on Friday night on ESPN that you ought not to poke the bear, Stone, whether that bear be a grizzly bear or a panda bear.
You poked the bear and it cost you, and as blatant as that sounds, listen, there were things done in this game situationally where Bobby Hauk was unlike Bobby Hauk. Uncharacteristics. Some of the play calls that he found on the sheet in certain times was obvious, the point that he was trying to drive home. This game was good, though, in a sense of it being back and forth. If you don't like offense, you hated this game because the defense was just not on the field. It didn't really matter what the case was. This game was close, and it takes one or two mistakes for an avalanche to happen, and that's what happened with the muff punt there right before the end of the half that allowed Montana to go into the locker room up a score, and then it kind of just slid all downhill from there. But this one was fun while it lasted, though. Bobby Hauk, the Montana Grizzlies, had the last laugh.
In the NDSU win over South Dakota State, there was complete domination in the stats. Well, this game sometimes proves that stats don't mean a whole lot. So it's kind of a weird week with our top two ball games from last week. Sack out game, Montana, 478 to 385, including 337 through the air for the Hornets to 224 for the Grizzlies. The Grizz rushed the ball for 161, Sacramento State for 141. But here's the kicker. 10 penalties for 80. Yards against the Hornets. And Brennan Marion had some things to say about the officiating in the Big Sky Conference. He insinuated that they're out to get him, Stone, that they're out to get Luke Wood for the comments that they made, and that the Big Sky was calling penalties on them that weren't warranted. And all he got himself for running his mouth like that was a fine of $10,000 and threatened, don't ever do that again. I've never seen anything like that in FCS football before. Number four, North Dakota, 46, Indiana State, 17. North Dakota handled this business, Stone. When you see a team like this who hasn't been in this situation before handling inferior opponents the way that North Dakota handled Indiana State, you start to feel good about putting them up in that rarefied air of the top five of all the teams in FCS football.
Yeah, and as silly as this may sound, you talk about that rarefied air and it takes a certain something to get you there, whether it's strength of schedule, championship pedigree, that list kind of goes on and on until it doesn't. But one thing that North Dakota does better than I think every single team in the subdivision, minus a few obviously, is not only beat but handle the teams that they're supposed to. In week 7 through about, 11-12, these big dogs, they're favored by 2-3 scores at a time. But who is sitting there consistently covering those numbers and winning games from wire to wire without dropping a bead of sweat? One of those is North Dakota. You saw it here against Indiana State. And this is why they're going to make a jump on this poll, and they entered it at number 4 this week. This team's serious, man, and they take care of business unlike anybody else.
And speaking of taking care of business, that's all the number 5 Montana State Bobcats have done since we saw them on the sideline in week two against South Dakota State and Bozeman. Number five, Montana State 34, Cal Poly 17. Cal Poly hung out for a minute in this ballgame. They're a much improved football team than they were last year. And if they can continue that improvement, they'll have something to say about Big Sky football next season and who's going to win it. And they still might have something to say about who's going to win it with some spoiler games on down the line in 2025. But Montana State looks like a machine, Stone. They're doing it differently than they had the last 4 years, really relying on the rushing attack from the running back position and also the strong right arm of Justin Lampson.
There's no doubt about that. The running game, it's been fluid and it's been, I don't know, dare I say traditional compared to what the Bobcats are used to, but something that I look for, and just piggybacking off of what I said with North Dakota and handling these games as they should, this Montana State team in the first half, 15 first downs and almost 250 yards. That's just in two quarters of football. And when you hold your opponent, an opponent who does have a pair of dancing shoes in Cal Poly, to 80 total yards and just three first downs compared to your 15, that's what I'm talking about by taking care of business. And Justin Lampson and them, they're not trying to run up scoreboards. They're efficient. They're methodical. That is a quote that Vegan dropped multiple times in his press conference. I really enjoy watching this team. They're just, I feel, a tad more complete than they were, even with Tommy at quarterback. Yeah, they had more firepower, more spark, but they're a little complete with Lampson's ability to convert third downs and just maintain and extend drives with his arm. This is a good ball club, man.
Well, a team with a lot of firepower and a lot of spark. Number six, Tarleton State 31, Eastern Kentucky 7. This game was a tale of two halves completely. Eastern Kentucky hung right there with Tarleton in the first half, and then Tarleton sort of woke up in that second half and they blitzed them.
They did. They blitzed them. They're 8-0. They're 5-0 in the UAC. This team can play real football. And with a quarterback like they have, it's just a gun in the holster that's ready to be pulled at any time. This team's off to its best start since they ripped off 11 straight to open up the 2019 season. And I think there is potential for that record to be broken. And it's only fitting. This is the most complete team that they've put together in Texas in a long time. And I think Tarleton State is ready to prove people wrong. But there's just something missing that we talk about oh so much, especially talking about Missouri Valley schools all the time. It's that strength of schedule. There's just no opponent standing in front of their face that is really going to test them before late November, December rolls around, Kev. We know that.
Number seven, Tennessee Tech 42, SEMO 23. Tennessee Tech just keeps getting it done. They keep scoring points in the 40s, and they keep beating teams by multiple touchdowns. They're kind of in the same boat as Tarleton is. There aren't really any teams on their schedule that you go, that team is really good. That's a great win. So they just have to keep doing what they're doing, which is beating opponents asleep.
Yeah, longest winning streak in the FCS right now at 13 games. This Tennessee Tech squad, they're not good. There's just other words to describe this club. They're electric, and I think not enough is talked about when it comes to the defensive side of the ball and what they're able to do. Wreak havoc is what they did against this SEMO unit. You saw a fumble that found its way to the end zone, a few turnovers into the mix. This team will do damage when it gets colder, and the games matter a little more because of that defense. So leaving this game, even though they gave up 23 points, they're going to score a lot, but this defense is locked down when they need to be, and they got the guys in the secondary. This is one of my favorite clubs to watch in all of the subdivision. Kev.
Number eight, Monmouth 28, Hampton 10. Monmouth got the job done without Derek Robertson. You know they want him back. He's week to week. Well, I'm day to day, so I guess I'm in better shape than Derek Robertson is, but it's his non-throwing wrist that's hurt. As these weeks tick on and tick on, and the opponents are going to get a little tougher for Monmouth, you know they want Derek Robertson back. They need him back, Stone. This is a team that can get by the teams on their schedule with the backup here in the regular season. But to have any hopes of a playoff run, you got to get maybe the best quarterback in all of the football championship subdivision back and as healthy as anybody can be for a long playoff run. It's time for us to take a break. And we come back, we'll give you this week's FCS Nation National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. And we'll unveil the brand new FCS Nation Top 25 for Week 9. The recap segment is brought to you by GameStrat. Looking to gain a real edge on game day? GameStrat is the number one choice for in-game video in the FCS and is trusted by championship programs at every level. With instant access to in-game video, lightning-fast uploads, and no internet required, GameStrat helps coaches make real-time adjustments that win football games. It's easy to use, ultra-reliable, and backed by top-rated support. Don't settle for less. Upgrade to GameStrat and keep up with what the top programs in the country are choosing for their in-game video. Visit GameStrat.com to learn more and schedule your demo today. That's GameStrat.com. Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Now time for us to put a bow on last week with the FCS Nation Radio National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. The FCS Nation National Offensive Player of the Week is Eddie Lee Marburger, quarterback, UTRGV. Last week versus Incarnate Word, Eddie Lee Marburger was 26 of 36 for 440 yards with six, count them, six, touchdown passes, FCS Nation, and he also added one on the ground. And more important than all those numbers, he led his team to victory over Incarnate Word. The FCS Nation National Defensive Player of the Week is Peyton Wing, linebacker, University of Montana. Last week versus Sacramento State, six tackles, three tackles for loss, three sacks, and one sack forced a turnover on downs. Congratulations to Eddie Lee Marburger, quarterback, UTRGV, and Peyton Wing, linebacker, University of Montana, for being named the FCS Nation National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, respectively, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. And now I hold in my hand the FCS Nation Top 25 for Week 9. Number 1, the North Dakota State Bison. Number 2, the Montana Grizzlies. Rising to number 3, the North Dakota Fighting Hawks. Falling to number 4, the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. Staying steady at number 5, the Montana State Bobcats. Move North Dakota up this week. They have two very good ranked wins in the last 3 weeks, and the Fighting Hawks are handling that business against inferior opponents the way a top five team should be doing. Dropped South Dakota State to number 4. They're without Chase Mason, but that didn't mean their defense had to play the way that it did against North Dakota State. But this is a snapshot of where we are right now. Has nothing to do with who's going to play quarterback next week for the Jackrabbits. It's where we are right now at this moment in time in FCS football, and I believe the Jackrabbits are the number 4 ranked team in the country. Number 6, Tarleton State. Number 7, Tennessee Tech. Number 8, the Monmouth Hawks. Number 9, UC Davis. And rounding out the top 10, the Lehigh Fighting Hawks. There's a couple of teams in this group, Tarleton State and Lehigh, who people seem to think in the comments of the poll that we posted on X that we dislike. We do not dislike y'all. We are for you. You just don't play in leagues with the level of competition that the teams in the top 5 of this poll do. It's not your fault. All you can do is play and beat the people who are on your schedule. But we have this thing called the playoffs coming up, y'all, where you're going to be able to make me and Stone Labanowitz and a whole bunch of other people look foolish by going out and beating these teams when it all matters the most in the FCS playoffs coming up real soon. Number 11, Lamar. Number 12, the Mercer Bears. Number 13 is Harvard. Number 14, Villanova. And rounding out the top 15, Southern Illinois. Mercer, huge game at Furman this week. Harvard is playing Dartmouth this week. That will give us some clarity in the Ivy League, the same way that Mercer-Furman game will give us some clarity in the Southern Conference. Villanova's just been steady Eddie since that loss to Monmouth. That's a good football team, and Southern Illinois gets the greatest of all elixirs in the Missouri Valley Football Conference this week with a visit to Murray State. Number 16, the Western Carolina Catamounts. Number 17, Youngstown State. Number 18, Illinois State. Number 19 is Stephen F. Austin, and after a loss in Vegas, falling to number 20, Jackson State. Number 21, Austin Peay Governors. Number 22, Southeastern Louisiana. Number 23, Northern Arizona. Number 24 is Rhode Island, and rounding out the top 25 for the first time in program history, a first-year program, mind you, the number 25 ranked team in the country in FCS football is UTRGV. Coming up next, Stone Labanowitz will return, and we'll preview the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. I know you'll want to hang out for that. We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Thanks for sticking with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto radio networks. Now time for the preview segment. This is where Stone Labanowitz and I take a quick trip all over FCS Nation, and we preview the biggest games taking place this week. Up first, a big one in Fargo. Number 17, Youngstown State is at number 1, North Dakota State.
This is a big one because the Big Fish is participating. It's somebody sound a train horn, please. Time and time again, we come through these seasons to get to a point where the Bison are the top dogs, and we're seeing, we're wondering, we're wishing, we're hoping that there is a Valley team that can knock them off. First, you got to see who's built for it, who has the roster. And I think you got to go down that list that we would call criteria on a team to see if this could be the week. Kevin, I wasted a lot of breath and a lot of oxygen because this ain't going to be the week, because North Dakota State is back home after a nice, fun, easy, sweat-free, nobody-injured trip to Brookings, South Dakota, where you beat up on what was the number two team in the country. And now you have a team that you've spanked all over and used as a mop on a wet floor. So North Dakota State got to handle business, Kev. This is a big one for them.
Look, I think Youngstown State is going to give North Dakota State some problems. And here's why, Stone. The quarterback, he can really move. And he can take the ball out of bad situations when the pocket is collapsing around him. And he can turn it into 6 points with his legs the way that Cole Payton does. If there is a dangerous game before that showdown with the Fighting Hawks coming up for North Dakota State, this is one of them. Youngstown State is trying to be that extra team from the Valley to make the playoffs. And, man, they have an opportunity here. I think they have a legitimate shot to go into the Fargo Dome and push NDSU further than anybody's pushed them in that building this season. And all you can ask for if you're the Penguins in this one is that you're in this thing with a chance to steal it at the end in the fourth quarter. I believe they just might be. It's going to be a pretty good ball game in the Fargo Dome on Saturday. Number 2, Montana is at Weber State.
This is a case of needing to handle business after an emotional win or emotional loss. And in the Grizzlies' case, it was an emotional win. You got to go on the road again to play a Weber State. This one at least closer to you. Weber also played in a huge game last weekend, but going to face the Grizzlies eye to eye as home dogs. And I think North Dakota State, just like Montana right now, both at this point in the season, just carry their lunch pails to work on Saturdays. And I don't see much changing here. This is another big spread that the Grizz will try to attempt to cover.
Weber State gave Montana all sorts of problems last year in Washington Grizzly Stadium. And everybody associated with the University of Montana remembers it. And I'm sure everyone associated with Mickey Mantle's Weber State Wildcats remembers it. So there's a little bit of a revenge mindset here for the Montana Grizzlies. And I don't know, man. I wouldn't want that bunch mad at me. Look at what they did to the team they were a little upset with last week. I expect Montana not to sleepwalk, not to waltz through this thing. I expect them to come into this ball game ready to go, to start fast, and not let Weber State hang around. If they do, it's going to be a dogfight at Weber State, and Montana wants to avoid that at all costs. They start fast, get up on that bunch, and it'll all steamroll on Weber State from there, I do believe. Number 3, North Dakota is at South Dakota.
Sign me up for this one. Kevin, is this one a do or die game for South Dakota?
I think they've had two or three of those already, haven't they?
Right.
And yet they're still here, South Dakota. They're not ranked, but you know, it's a big game for them, and it can salvage a lot of their season if they can somehow figure out a way to take care of the Fighting Hawks in their place. I really like the quarterback matchup, Stone. I know you're a former quarterback, but Kaminsky versus Bauman in a do or die type playoff situation for Aiden Bauman, this is going to be a sneaky good game, I do believe. Indiana State is at number 4, South Dakota State. Man, I know I say this a lot, Stone, but I would hate to be Indiana State in this situation. It seems like we say that all the time about Indiana State and Murray State, doesn't it?
They're
always playing somebody who's all pissed off after what happened last week, and they look at them and go, awesome, it's the trees. Awesome, it's the racers. That must be a hell of a way to go through your football season.
Right, except that's not how they were coached this week in practice. It's just not. I think if you saw the visuals from the couch, from the TV, of Dan Jackson on the sideline, he was probably the most angry human being in any division, anywhere in the country, on a team's sideline. He looked uncomfortable, and I think all of that parlayed with the fact that Yeah, the trees are coming to town. You use the word a lot, elixir. That's exactly what this is. But if Chase Mason doesn't find himself back into the lineup, just more reps for Luke Marble. But I expect to see a little bit of both, trying to keep Chase Mason upright. There's just, at the end of the day, not much to see here. South Dakota State's got to bring their lunch pail like some of the other Titans.
Number five, Montana State is at Northern Colorado.
Northern Colorado can dance. They're definitely invited to the barbecue. This is a team that week in and week out, to cliche it up, any given Saturday. But Vegan talked about being methodical in his press conference after his game last week and kind of leading into this one this week. So that's just the way I see this train rocking and rolling. It's that time of year where you're going to see Montana State start to play their best ball. And that's hysterical considering they're a top five team in the country.
Northern Colorado is not a bad football team. I think everyone who has watched them has seen that. They fight, and I like that bunch a lot. They deserve a better fate than they have gotten in the win-loss record so far this year. Ed Lamb's a good coach. He'll have his team ready to go. This will not be a cakewalk for the Bobcats in Greeley. Number six, Tarleton State is at Abilene Christian. This one is fishy, Stone, because Abilene Christian has looked extremely good at times this year. They have also looked like a team that doesn't know how to line up a couple of times this year. Which one shows up? Who knows? Tarleton State has been a model of consistency every week. You kind of know what you're going to get from that football team. They're going to score a lot of points, and they're going to play pretty good defense. But this one, I think, if you look at the rest of their schedule, this one right here is a minefield on the way to a perfect season for Tarleton State.
It is. It has that look and that feel to it, but there's something that Tarleton State does better than anybody in the entire FCS. And when I say better, I mean abundantly better, and that's their turnover margin. They take the ball away from you. They sit at plus 24 right now. Nobody in the country is even close. Closest one to them is at plus 13, so they take the ball away. And Abilene Christian, all season long, has given the ball away. So although this is a team that you can roll the dice with a lot of the time, and they can sneak anybody they want on any Saturday, you're just looking at a Tarleton State opponent that will take the ball away from you and score in a few plays.
Same scenario for this next game. Gardner Webb is at number seven, Tennessee Tech. Gardner Webb can get up and down the field and score points, Stone. Uh-huh. They outscored Western Carolina when Teron Dickens was not in the ball game. That ball game was in the 50s. So they can pick them up and put them down, the Gardner Webb running Bulldogs. And Tennessee Tech, we know who they are on offense. They score 40 every week. I think this one's got shootout written all over it, and I'm excited for this one. I just don't know if Gardner Webb is going to have enough defense to slow Tennessee Tech down enough times to have a chance to win the football game, but I'm really interested in watching and seeing if they can.
Listen, I think this game has shootout written on its forehead. Both of these teams like to tote the pill, explosive plays out the wazoo. Gardner Webb is not a pushover at all. There's plenty of pedigree there, and Tennessee State just seems to have dog-walked every opponent that has come across them on the screen, on the field, on the turf, in between the white lines all season long. Gardner Webb is going to give them some trouble and score 27 plus points themselves. I look for this to be, so far, one of the biggest tests for the Golden Eagles.
Number eight, Monmouth is at Bryant. No Derek Robertson, probably going to be no problem again for Monmouth, but you never know. Every game without him is a game that Monmouth could lose. I don't care who the opponent is. So if you're Bryant, hell, you've got this going for you. We don't have to face maybe the best quarterback in FCS. Rah, rah, let's go get them. So Monmouth needs to start quickly. We've said that about a couple of other teams. Don't let Bryant hang around. Get up on them, stay up on them, and get out of there with a victory. Idaho State is at number nine, UC Davis. If I'm UC Davis, I'm very pleased this game is not in Pocatello, I'll tell you that, especially with health question marks for Caden Pinnick. If Pinnick plays, they should handle them pretty easily. If he doesn't, could be a dogfight there at Davis. Georgetown is at number 10, Lehigh.
People crying in our replies week in and week out. If you are that person and you are listening right now, we're previewing a game against Georgetown right now. Georgetown. Lehigh was favored by 29.5 points last week. I would know because I bet on it. This week's going to be the exact same thing. We know how good you guys are. We're on your side. But just show a little bit of self-awareness here. You're playing Georgetown. You're favored by almost 30 points. It's ticking up there. You got to go out there and you got to beat them up, bang them up. But there's nothing else that we can do for you. Lehigh has to show up in the playoffs for us to think anything different. But Georgetown, I mean, Lehigh's going to surpass probably 250 yards on the ground. They know how to tote the pill with the best of them right now. We like this team. I can't stand that we take flack for having him at 10.
Number 11, Lamar is at Incarnate Word. I think Incarnate Word's still probably pretty shell-shocked at what happened to them by the Vaqueros last week. I mean, it was 35-0 UTRGV at the Half Stone. And this was a top five team 9 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, the Incarnate Word Cardinals. But this is a battle with the Cardinals. And Lamar, we have him higher than everybody else. And the balls bounced their way several times this year. Really bounced their way. 57-yard field goals, that type of thing. It's a special season for Lamar. Let's see if they can keep it going when they're favored on the road against Incarnate Word. This next ball game intrigues me. Number 12, Mercer is at Furman.
This is a full-blown Texas Hold'em game right here. This is SoCon chess checkers, late October, early November. I mean, this is FCS football. This is what the epitome, this is the makeup of the sport that we love oh so much. Mercer at a Furman team any given Saturday. Listen, all the cards are on the table. We know who Mercer is, and at this point, we know who Furman is. If you're Mercer, you got to go win this thing. Just to put it plain and simply, you drop one more, and I think your wish goes out the window like a dandelion here. And if you're Furman, you have a chance to stop them from just catapulting these rankings right now, and you are playing at home. I hope we get a throwback, which is not even a real throwback. I'm calling it a throwback. I want the SoCon of, I don't know, 5 years ago of a low scoring defensive led match. I hope we don't get the doors blown off and both of these teams finish in the 30s. Kevin, this is a game of the week, and I can't put Sneaky in front of it because I think it's loud.
I saw this Furman team with my own two eyes from the sideline last week when they beat the Citadel. There are some question marks in the secondary for Furman, but you're not going to make a lot of hay running the football against them. So Mercer, you may as well just throw that "we want to run" out of there and just take your shots repeatedly and hope that you can come up with enough of them to outscore a Furman offense that is just pretty good. It'll be an interesting ball game there at Paladin Stadium in Greenville, South Carolina, that's for sure. Number 15, Southern Illinois is at Murray State. Not a whole lot to see here, but a bunch of Saluki points, I don't think, Stone.
Yeah, we talked about some of these teams saying, oh, great, here we go again, right? Just not getting a chance to breathe. This is another one because this is a Southern Illinois team who is somewhat pissed off. Didn't play that clean of a game. Homecoming on their own turf against the UNI squad. This is a butcher shop. DJ Williams is going to chop them up. It seems like all the Valley schools are kind of getting a week off, minus a few.
Number 16, Western Carolina is at the Chattanooga Mox. This one is also perhaps going to be kind of special because Chattanooga has got their stuff in a pile, Stone, since getting blown out at home by the Citadel 3 weeks ago. They won three games in a row. But you know who doesn't play for Chattanooga, Stone, and who does play for Western Carolina? You know what that guy's name is?
Teron Dickens that you're speaking
That's
about?
That's the fella's name. So unless he, you know, galvanizes and moves over to Chat in the pregame, you gotta like Western Carolina's chances in this one. The Virginia Military Institute is at the Citadel in the Military, classic of the South. In a lot of rivalries, Stone, they say throw out the records, they don't matter. Well, this one is absolutely 100% true. This is the most unique game in all of FCS football. Two bastions of the South and its manliness are gonna scrap on the football field down in Charleston, and they're gonna battle for the coveted Silver Shako. The Citadel's coming off a loss to Furman in a close ball game, and VMI, well, the worst defeat for VMI since it got burned down in 1864 by Mercer last week. Something's got to give here. It's in Charleston, but this game will be fun to watch. It'll be close. It'll come down to the fourth quarter like it always does.
That is the tale of the tape, right? You have a Citadel team who is coming off of a burning loss, a game that they very well could have won against Furman. On the road, mind you. And on the other side of the field, it's a VMI team who didn't only get the doors blown off of them, but their entire facility and locker room just rattled, right? You talked about shell shock with an Incarnate Word unit who got beat up pretty bad. VMA got destroyed. So it could be a tale of gauging two different squads' confidence levels. And I think the Citadel, they have that right now, and obviously a tough place to go in and play. I'm going to have my feet up. I'm not going to be wearing a shirt. I'm going to be wearing a hat with the United States of America flag on it. I'm going to have a beer in hand. I'm going to watch this thing, not only because I love Kevin Marshall, but because I love football. And these guys are going to be clanging and banging for all four quarters. Sign me up.
It's time for us to take a break. When we come back, I'll be doing the Alex's Lemonade Stand Honorary Captain of the Week segment this week, and I'll sit down with Jackson Pryor, tight end from Furman, and Mr. John Tripoli from Northwestern Mutual in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
And we're back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's now time for when you usually hear Stone Labanowitz do this. It's time for our discussion about this week's honorary captain of the week, Mr. Jackson Pryor, tight end Furman University, and Northwestern Mutual Managing Director John Tripoli of the Greenville, South Carolina office. Welcome into the program, gentlemen. Very glad to have you here.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks for being here today.
Jackson, I was not pleased with the outcome of the game last week over there at Paladin Stadium. But your guys played very well. They played hard. And I think everybody expects that in the Furman Citadel game. It's going to be a little chippy. It's going to be a little play until the edge of the whistle, the echo of the whistle. I know that you weren't able to play in the game due to your health, but what were your initial impressions of that football game?
You know, it's always great to see like a good rivalry game like that. Get all the players fired up before the game, you know, play with a little passion.
Well, John, the rivalry extends beyond the playing field, and I know there's no rivalry in the Northwestern Mutual Company, but we're doing great things to raise money for Alex's Lemonade Stand and to try to end pediatric cancer in our time. In the first year, over $50,000. Last year, over $70,000. This year, we're exceeding expectations. Talk about what it means to the company and to your office to have a partnership with someone like Jackson out there waving your flag, really, and doing this, that's something greater than his own self-interest.
Well, thank you, Kevin. And we are very proud to affiliate ourselves with Jackson and his leadership, his stewardship of the Alex's Lemonade Stand brand. And we're super proud to, again, this year partner with Furman University and extending this message and doing it through a great player like Jackson.
Jackson, what does it mean to you to be a part of this? Last year it was Evan DiMaggio, a great player, great person, represented Furman well, and I know he did a great job for Northwestern Mutual. To kind of carry on, you heard about this in the locker room, didn't you? And when you were approached to be a part of it, what were your initial thoughts?
You know, I was just thankful to be able to be a part of this great cause, and just especially in a world of the NIL, kind of been thankful just to promote, like, not only your own image, but just an image of such a great cause like this.
Has cancer affected you in your life personally?
Yes, it has. My grandfather died whenever my dad was in high school from cancer. And also my aunt passed away when I was about in first grade. And two of my cousins were affected by that. And it's been close to my life.
What's it going to take for Furman to raise the most money this year? What can you do personally to get out there and get this message out?
You know, Furman doesn't have maybe the biggest student population, but I think we are all interconnected and kind of support each other in everything that we do. And just the ability to market it, all my friends and my teammates and everybody that we know, just everybody, get everybody on board.
Now, John, this is not the first or won't be the last, and it's certainly 2 years isn't the just how long y'all have been partnered doing this with Alex's Lemonade Stand. The amount of money that y'all have raised for this charity over the years is just amazing. Mm-hmm. And companies often get a bad rap for, you know, just in it for the money. Well, Northwestern Mutual is in it for the money also to help raise how much money over the years for Alex's Lemonade Stand?
$65 million. And we've been doing this since 2012. And it is our primary philanthropic cause. And we've been long in the tooth with the cause and message, and we're going to continue to be in that space until we achieve our ultimate goal, which is eradication of childhood cancer. I mean, it is the leading cause of childhood death by disease still in this country. And, you know, we're creating thousands of hours of research in this current year because of stewardship and brand awareness and messaging on that our players and the great example that Jackson's providing.
FCS Nation, we're joined by Mr. Jackson Pryor, fine tight end from Furman University, and this week's honorary captain in our fight against childhood cancer, partnered with Northwestern Mutual and Alex's Lemonade Stand. Jackson, when you're not able to take part on the field because of an injury, do you still stay completely plugged into the team Just talk for a second about, you know, everybody sees the guys standing on the sidelines in the different colored jerseys, and everybody knows you want to be out there. But what do you do on the sidelines as an injured player that has also helped you in this particular partnership? Because I think those two things can kind of go hand in hand a little bit.
For sure. I think that throughout this chapter of my life, you know, it's hard to focus on things that you can't control, but something I can do is kind of control the things I can control. I think the Lord has blessed me with the ability to lead a group of people that I'm very close to and, you know, live my some of my hardest times in my life, you know, in the weight room and on the practice field with them. I'm able to lead them. And even at the lowest point of being injured, not being able to play on the field, I can still lead them whenever they're out on the field, giving their all for the team.
John, how else are you involved in the Furman campus? And how else are you kind of expanding the footprint to be more involved in campus life over there and show people through the internship program, which is one of the best ones in the country, that sometimes that light at the end of the tunnel for a student seems a long way away, but it doesn't have to be that long, does it?
No, let's think about the quick journey it is and how fast college that experience lasts or goes by, and how quick you got to spread your wings into the professional world. And locally, our relationship with Paladins and Furman runs deep. We have several of our advisors and associates that had the opportunity to attend Furman University. Our chairman emeritus, Mr. David Ellison, who is a Furman grad, an athlete, a tennis player, also a member of the Board of Trustees, and just a long time brand sponsor of Furman University, continues to pitch the great voice in our partnership. And it's exciting to see what Dr. Davis is doing with the business community specific in Furman, and then what we're doing here at Northwestern Mutual. So we're partnering with places like Furman to grow professional careers. And that can happen through participation in our top 10 nationally ranked internship program. It happens when we identify great talent off the field in the professional world that can build a tremendous business and financial practice affiliated with our firm and company. So we will continue to remain very involved with Furman University. You'll find us at a career fair. You'll find us actively partnering with the athletic departments. Jackson Pryor here is case in point number one. And you'll find us in the business community running arm in arm with the Paladin community.
Well, I think you two can probably speak for yourself and how much your college career flew by. I had the longest year of my life, and it's still been the longest year of my life when I didn't have a last name. But how is this NIL partnership, which gets a bad rap up at the next level, right? It's more pay to play. It's not that. We had an article written last year by footballscoop.com that called this initiative the greatest use of NIL in America.
Wow.
And how has this partnership helped those things that you just described?
Jackson said it incredibly well earlier in his comments that he was recognizing the opportunity to affiliate with a Fortune 110 company, not only to build his brand, right, and what he's doing as a young professional, but also doing it with purpose, and that purpose having a philanthropic footprint with Alex's Lemonade Stand. And what a great message and opportunity for a young professional to know that I'm doing something both that will help myself and has a bigger, broader purpose beyond that. I think it is very cool.
Because this is FCS football. You are always going to have to do something to participate in a NIL partnership. You're just not going to get 50 grand because you can play safety like they do at Clemson or Carolina or Alabama or Georgia. Mm-hmm. And so when people talk about this initiative and this thing, like I go all over the country and see FCS football games. And this is after telling me that the Citadel isn't a very good football team most years. This is the second thing people want to talk to me about.
Wow.
And I've been stopped in airports wearing my gear. Mm-hmm. And this is a big deal. And I sometimes when you're a part of it, you don't get the drone view of what's happening. But believe me when I tell you, Jackson, people know your name from one end of this country to the other, and they know your office, John Tripoli. They know your office is aligned with him. That's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, thank you. It is. It's very, very cool. And I think this is a great allocation of some of our resources here locally with Northwestern Mutual. Again, we're partnering not only with a great student athlete, we're partnering with a phenomenal university. And it's not just about the money. It's about the purpose. And that's a great learned lesson for all of us.
It's greater than your own self-interest and giving of your time and using the one thing that a college football player has. You have your name, you have your image, and you have your likeness. When you go back to campus, what are you taking away? Well, first of all, just being around a business like this and someone who has been successful as Mr. Tripoli has, that's obviously going to have some effect on you. But when people have asked you in the locker room, tell me about this. What does that mean to you to be that kind of a leader where people can come to you about football questions, but also know that you have a relationship with such a good company and such successful people?
I think that's just a blessing of being at Furman and being able to build connections with my teammates is just being able to attach myself to a cause like this and just the people that are helping support me and the cause as a whole.
Well, you've got a ball game this week against Mercer, who is leading the Southern Conference. It's an impressive football team. I mean, the best thing about Mercer that I've heard lately is that they blew out VMI last week, which is always a very good thing for somebody who roots the way that I root. I know you've seen the film. What is it about that Mercer team that makes them so good?
I think they're just so strong in all three phases of the game, whether it be defense, special teams, or offense, that they're going to challenge you no matter what you're doing on the field. And I think that we have the ability to do the same to them back. I don't know how many teams have focused, especially on special teams and defense, just the ability to control the ball in all three phases of the game.
What was it about Jackson, John, when he was identified as being someone that you wanted to work with? When you sat down and you met with him, what was it about him that said, this is the guy, this is the player that we want to be aligned with this year?
Well, we had some great insight from his athletic director and Coach Hendrick, and but in getting to know Jackson here a little bit, I will tell you, he comes from a tremendous family, just a great parents, great leadership. And he has taken those values and he's displaying that on the field with his teammates. He's displaying it in his athletic performance. And we were talking about tight ends and the opportunity to be a big playmaker. And, you know, that's what Jackson's doing here. And that's why we're affiliated to make a big statement about Alex's lemonade stand with a playmaker like Jackson.
If there are Furman fans out there listening, and I know there are with the emails and the text messages I've gotten gloating about the outcome of the ball game from last Saturday, how can they get involved? How can they give so that this money or a picture or something gets in Jackson Pryor's tally?
Well, the first thing is to follow Jackson. Follow Jackson on Jackson Pryor at his Instagram channel through Furman University. And by responding with a simple picture and tag with a lemon, and you can balance it, you can hold it in your hand, you are actively making a donation on behalf of Northwestern Mutual to Alex's lemonade stand. It's very easy. Go find Jackson Pryor. Follow him.
Jackson, we're going to hold you to account on that, my friend. I want to see people tell me, you know what? I can't see Jackson Pryor without a sack of lemons in his hand on the Furman campus. You know, so you can be the lemon fella. So when you go back to campus after this, how fired up are you to let people know how they can get involved? And please tell people exactly about how to follow you on your social so that they can be a part of it.
You know, I'm excited to get all my teammates getting pictures with lemons on their head and all my classmates as well. But you can follow me on Instagram at jtp.83. And I also have a Twitter at jacksonpryor.83. And those are my main two social media accounts.
Well, thank you two gentlemen for being here, FCS Nation. That's been Mr. John Tripoli from Northwestern Mutual, the Greenville, South Carolina office, and Jackson Pryor. Great young man, great football player from Furman University. We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. And we're back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's now time for my favorite time of the week, y'all. This is the pick segment. This is where Stone Lebanowitz and I butt face mask, and we pick the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. Up first, number 17, Youngstown State is at number 1, North Dakota State.
North Dakota State at home in the Dome, 48 to Youngstown State's 15.
The Penguins will put up a fight, but this Bison team is looking like one of those Bison teams we're going to talk about for a long time. Take number 1, North Dakota State, at home over number 17, Youngstown State, 38-17. Number two, Montana is at Weber State.
More wishful thinking on my end here, but the Grizzlies get out of here on the road with a victory 30-23. Hoping this one's a good one. Want it to be.
Montana's played really well on offense lately, y'all. And Weber State just not going to be able to keep up with that offense, no matter how well the Wildcats defense plays. Number two, Montana will win on the road over Weber State, 35-20. Number three, North Dakota is at South Dakota.
North Dakota, I mean, I did think about this one for a little bit, but I think the Fighting Hawks ultimately are victorious here. Give me North Dakota, 33, to South Dakota's 23.
It'll be closer than some people think, but take number three, North Dakota, on the road in Vermilion over South Dakota, 31-24. Indiana State is at number four, South Dakota State.
Jackrabbits go hopping along here, 52-14, the final.
The rumors of the demise of the Jackrabbit 2025 football team have been greatly exaggerated, y'all, and they'll prove it here. Number four, South Dakota State slashes and burns the trees in this one, 42-13. Number five, Montana State is at Northern Colorado.
Given the Bobcats doing it in methodical fashion against the team that we said has some legs to them, 48-20 the final.
I think this game will be sneaky good, y'all, because Northern Colorado can run the football and they can play a little run defense. They'll hang around for a while, but take number five, Montana State on the road in Greeley over Northern Colorado. Bobcats win 31-20. Number six, Tarleton State is at Abilene Christian.
45-13, the train. It keeps on a chugging here. I told you this team has their eyes set on the best start to a season in Tarleton State Texans history. It kind of starts right here.
I'm pulling the trigger here, and not because the ACU quarterback is named Stone, but it's completely in spite of that fact. That's unfortunate for that young man. The Wildcats have been extremely uneven, but when the good has been displayed, it's been very good, and I believe that ACU team shows up here. Give me Abilene Christian at home over number six, Tarleton State, and my upset special of the week.
Oh.
Wildcats win 31-30.
Oh.
Gardner Webb is at number seven, Tennessee Tech.
Tennessee Tech, Golden Eagles, 35-17. In what will be a fun game for maybe 40 minutes.
Gardner Webb is right at the cusp of being a pretty darn good football team. Tennessee Tech is quite possibly on the cusp of being a great one. Take number seven, Tennessee Tech at home over Gardner Webb, 38-24. Number eight, Monmouth is at Bryant.
Monmouth, they're going to win this thing, obviously, but no Derek Robertson. Might cause a little bit of problems, dare I say, things that we may need to pay attention to, depending on, you know, the updates we get injury-wise, but none of that is the case this week. Monmouth wins this one 35-17.
Monmouth Hawks quarterback Derek Robertson is, well, he's week to week with an injury to his non-throwing hand, as Stone said earlier, and he's out for the second week. And for the second week, that won't really matter, but it will soon. Take number eight, Monmouth on the road over Bryant, 31-20. Idaho State is at number nine, UC Davis.
UC Davis also a question mark in the category of the signal callers here, but yeah, don't matter. Idaho State, they're not playing at home here. You got to go on the road and try to do this one. Aggies win 40-21.
If Pennick plays, UC Davis wins big. If not, it'll be a dogfight regardless of where it takes place. It's hard to pick this game without knowing those factors, but take number nine, UC Davis at home over Idaho State, 27-20. Georgetown is at number 10, Lehigh.
Lehigh, 47. Georgetown, not that much, 17.
All Mountain Hawks here. Number 10, Lehigh, rolls over Georgetown, 38-17. Number 11, Lamar is at Incarnate Word.
I don't think I can call this one an upset special of the week. I think Incarnate Word is going to be favored in this game. So give me Incarnate Word to win 28-21. At home.
If they're favored, somebody is foolish, because that's a bad football team. But I would feel a whole lot better about this one if Lamar was at home, but I don't think it's going to matter. I think UIW is just headed in the wrong direction. So I'll take number 11, Lamar, on the road over UIW, 34-24. Number 12, Mercer is at Furman.
Furman, not going to win this one. Mercer wins 30-21, but will get awkward. Again, very similar to my wishful thinking with Montana and Weber State. I want this one to be fun, so I'm hoping Furman stays within punching distance, striking distance, but they'll fall short.
Mercer will win it with the passing game. Take number 12, Mercer, over Furman in Greenville, 28-17. Dartmouth is at number 13, Harvard.
Harvard, not as much of a bludgeoning as we're used to seeing in weeks leading up to right now, but they'll still win this game without a scab on them, 35-20 over Dartmouth.
Too much Jaden Craig and the Crimson offense here for the Big Green. Number 13, Harvard, wins at home, 34-24. Number 15, Southern Illinois, is at Murray State.
Southern Illinois scoreline will be similar points-wise to what it was last week, but they won't let their foot off of the gas here. They'll keep it on the throat. Salukis, 38, Racers, 7.
Murray State gets raced off their own field again, but it'll be by the Salukis this time. Number 15, SIU, wins 44-13. Number 16, Western Carolina, is at Chattanooga.
Love that. I think we're going to see some points here. Teron Dickens, high-scoring affair. I fancy his chances. Catamounts, 44. Mox, 28.
Teron Dickens for Western Carolina has been the difference in every game he's played in. This one will be no different. Take number 16, Western Carolina, on the road over Chattanooga, 35-31. Virginia Military Institute is at the Citadel in the Military Classic of the South.
Give me the one and only Citadel Bulldogs, 30, on top of VMI with 10.
The records don't matter in this one, only the hat brass does. And I believe the men with the palmetto tree on them will make one more play than the six Semper Tyrannis men will from VMI. Take the Citadel to beat VMI and retain the greatest trophy in all of sports, the Silver Shako. Dogs win 24-21. That brings us to the end of another episode of FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. FCS Nation is produced and co-hosted by Mr. Stone Labanowitz. I'm executive producer and host Kevin Marshall, thanking you for making FCS Nation a small part of your football week. And like I always do, y'all, I'd like to remind you that life's a lot like football. You play by the rules and the penalties won't kill you. Until next week, so long, everybody.